Radio free readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Mother's Day. All of you patriots out there spending time with your mothers and the mothers of your children, congratulations to all of you, and thank you so much for all of you for bringing us up and guiding us and sharing your wisdom with us and never forgetting to care for us, no matter how old we are. Happy Mother's Day. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and you are listening to the Voice of the American Readout. Thank you so much for tuning in all across the American Readout and in Occupied America. We are thinking of you. You are not forgotten. We are broadcasting from Free America, and I want to welcome all of our new listeners because there are several of you. Normally, we get started at 8 p.m. Pacific time, and tonight we got, well, I got running behind because, well, it's Mother's Day, doggone it. And plus, I was actually doing some reading a little while ago, and I fell asleep. And so anyway, it was panic mode. And so I shot off a text message to Polly01 saying, please put a posting up in Facebook and let everyone know I'm going to be running a little bit late. So sorry about that. My bad. That's a faux pas in this line of work. So it will not happen again till next Mother's Day, probably. You can follow us on Facebook Facebook.com/Radio Free Readout. And I just want to thank all of you guys for your letters of support, your encouragement, and you guys are just so amazing. And we're all in this together, so we're all looking out, and you guys have been really looking out for me, and I appreciate that. Some great scriptures and letters of encouragement and some of your personal testimonies of some of the things that you guys have gone through has really been uplifting to me this week, and I just want to thank you for that. I want to remind you, we've got several things we've got to cover tonight. So I want to remind you before we get much further, we have a new job site up. It is brand new. It's 1 week old. It's American-ReadoutJobs.com. If you're looking for employment in the American Readout, and especially this is our main task we're really going to be pushing for over the next couple of weeks. And that is to track down employers, patriot-owned businesses that are looking for employees so we can match you guys up. And so I just want to thank Codename Javaman for putting all that together. This is brand new. We're going to be tweaking and adjusting this site and the features, customizing that to fit your needs as much as possible to help you guys overcome one of the biggest hurdles. And that has been, what about employment? When I take the gap and I read out, I'm on my way, but I got a little work situation that I need to figure out to support my family. So that's the perspective a lot of you are coming from. We're going to try to help overcome that. We've got several things, several projects that we're working on, and this is a long time coming, but it is finally up and running. 1 week old, and we are going to work diligently to make that a stronger benefit or asset to the American Readout movement. Tonight, we've got several things to get into. So let's get right into the news and commentary right now. News and commentary is brought to you by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. And you can go to 299days.com to learn more. The American culture has sunk to an even newer low. Recently, there was a video that was produced by a young woman, 25 years of age, who filmed her abortion. This is just something. Emily Letts, a 25-year-old patient advocate at Cherry Hill Women's Center in New Jersey, created a media wildfire by filming her abortion. Her three-minute video went online in mid-March, winning the Abortion Care Network's stigma-busting competition. On Monday, she published a follow-up essay in Cosmopolitan magazine and attracted the attention of right-wing pundits who declared her irresponsible, insensitive, delusional, godless, beyond sick, and a witch from hell. So that's what they're focusing on there. Not that she, you know, murdered her own baby, but you know, these radical right-wing extremists hurling insults at her for exercising her freedom to choose. In the film that was made, a charismatic, now this is the article that was, this is the way this was written. Can you see if pop culture is supporting this? Even the general pop culture is kind of shocked by this. And some are saying, you know, are we really ready for this next level? But apparently they are, because they're offering all kinds of support to this young woman. In the film, a charismatic and down-to-earth Letts, her last name, explains that she's not ready to have children. I'm lucky, she says, because I feel completely comfortable with the decision. I'm supported by everyone. And of course, the camera follows her into a clinic, focusing on her face and upper body as a kind-voiced doctor performs the procedure. She breathes and hums softly. Guitars ripple in the background. Oh, what a nice setting. When it's over, Letts' face breaks into a glowing smile. I feel good, she says. I'm done. Yay. Now, there was a follow-up with her a month and a half later. And she says, I don't feel sad. I feel in awe of the fact that I can make a life. Do you feel in awe that you can take a life too? And no, you don't feel sad. You feel joy. Well, this essay that came out in Cosmopolitan says, in a soft, gauzy way, this is the author. Letts explains that she became an abortion counselor. Oh, great. Now she's abortion counselor. Because the idea of helping women through an abortion and supporting them and reassuring them that they are still wonderful and beautiful resonated deeply with me. Her work is this perfect world that fulfills me in so many ways. Well, anyway, this is just really, wow. I mean, nothing really surprises me from this culture, and we know that things are going to get worse. But she went on to say that people don't realize how quick, this 3 to 5 minutes, how quick, safe, non-intrusive it is. And she says, I wanted to show it wasn't scary and that there is such a thing as a positive abortion story. Is that sick or what? There is such thing as a positive abortion story. Actually, I have heard of some positive abortion stories, and those are survivors. Those that were left to die that are now productive citizens who are trying to spread the word and awareness about abortion and the destruction of it. But they're not going to tell that story. And she says, every time I watch the video, I love it, she writes. I love how positive it is. And she remembers breathing and humming through it like it was giving birth. That's her quote. I know that sounds weird, but to me, this was a birth-like as it could be. Yeah, it is about as birth-like as it could be, except the baby doesn't get to live. It will always be a special memory for me. Now, this has gone out all over the internet. I don't know. Some of you have heard about this story. Some of you have not. But it's pretty sad, the state that we've sunk to. And, of course, to add to this campaign, well, actually, not necessarily related, but, you know, Google, they pulled all their pro-life ads from their abortion clinic search results. If you look for abortion clinics, you will not find any pro-life ads. They pulled them, so they will not appear when you do a Google search. Well, Yahoo just did the same thing. They followed in Google's footsteps. And after being petitioned by the so-called pro-choice groups, no choice for the baby, but the pro-choice group NARAL, N-A-R-A-L, Pro-Choice America, and Ultraviolet. So these three different organizations put a lot of pressure on Yahoo, and so they decided to do just the same thing that Google did. There are some people that are in the fight, and they are drawing lines in the sand, and they will not be coerced. Dr. James Dobson last week gave a great, well, I just became aware of this last week. He gave a speech to basically leveled at Obama, saying, "Come and get me, Mr. President. I will not comply." Actually, why don't you listen to this segment of this, listen to this audio file from James Dobson, founder of the Focus on the Family.
I wrote this in a letter that went to 250,000 people. I doubt if it got anywhere near the White House, but this is what I wrote. I believe in the rule of law, and it's been my practice since I was in college to respect and honor those in authority over us. It's my desire to do so now. However, this assault on the sanctity of human life takes me where I cannot go. I will not pay the surcharge for abortion services. The amount of the surcharge is irrelevant. To pay 1 cent for the killing of babies is egregious to me, and I will do all I can to confront the government that lies to me about its intention and then tries to coerce my acquiescence with extortion. It would be a violation of my most deeply held convictions to obey what I consider to be the principles of Scripture. The Creator will not hold us guiltless if we turn a deaf ear to the cries of innocent babies. So come and get me, Mr. President, if you must. I will not yield to your wicked regulations.
And there is one fine example of a Christian leader that is standing up in the face of the tyrant and saying, I will not comply. And it is appropriate and it's timely for that type of a message. I hope that many others step up to follow that example, like we've seen with the leaders of Hobby Lobby and what is that, Conestoga Wood Company. These guys are drawing a line in the sand. Speaking of Hobby Lobby, in the next story from the ChristianPost.com, a Bible curriculum development by the developed by the Green Scholars Initiative, chaired by the outspoken Christian president of Hobby Lobby, Steve Green, is slated to be piloted in Oklahoma's Mustang Public School District high schools this coming fall. And if it's successful, high school students across the U.S. could soon be free to study the Bible en masse, as it should be. A release from the public relations firm Demos said a test version of the elective Bible curriculum, since it's not being forced on anyone. The elective Bible curriculum was recently presented to the board of the Mustang Public Schools by the Museum of the Bible, a nonprofit that will oversee an international museum focusing on a scholarly approach to the Bible. And it's expected to open a few blocks from the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. in 2017. So that's pretty exciting. There's more on that that you can go and read over at Christian Post. We'll put this and links to the other highlights and resources over on the highlights and resources posting for this episode, episode 1418. Okay, let's turn this over to Fox 519. Let's get a little bit of a little, let's get his report on Eye on the Economy. And then when we come back, we'll finish up with news and commentary. Stay right there.
Send the drones, even if I'm on my own. Well, I'm not the one to be afraid. Cause I know that I'm not standing all alone. And you fear your disappearing charade.
And so I don't know what to call our system or how to, I prefer not to give labels, but there's no question that we've had to trend toward growing inequality.
So you don't know what to call our current system of government, Federal Chairwoman Janet Yellen? I'll name it for you right now. It's communism, socialism, and mostly a failure. Good evening, everyone. This is Fox 519 back with you and bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This week we explore the growing tide of socialism around the world because everyone from Putin to the Pope is now on board. This is Sunday, May 10th, 2014, and this is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
This is Anya, and I'd like to say thank you for listening to the Voice of the American Redoubt. If you're blessed and encouraged by Radio Free Redoubt and you haven't done so already, please consider supporting RFR. Your pledge of just $5 or $10 or any amount per month will help keep Radio Free Redoubt strong and growing. God bless.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to take a moment to send a special thank you to all the mothers who are out there. I know that all of you who are listening are doing your best to raise good, godly young patriots, and you are to be thanked and commended. I'd like to take a moment to thank my own mother for her love and support over the years. Fox 519 would not be the man he is today without the prayers and her godly wisdom. Finally, I'd like to say a special thank you, and I love you, to Mrs. Fox 519. You are an amazing woman, and I stand in awe of everything you do for our little foxes. I am a blessed man to have such a gift as you. And now, on to the news. Well, as you heard this week in the first part of our segment, Janet Yellen was back on Capitol Hill last week talking and testifying to the current status of our economy. And guess what? The outlook isn't very pretty at all. In the 10-year budget projections it released in April, the CBO estimated that the federal government will run a $7.618 trillion in deficits from 2015 through 2024. At the same time, the CBO projected that the federal government's debt held by the public would rise from $11.983 trillion in the end of fiscal 2013 to $20.947 trillion by the end of 2024. The total debt the federal government had at the end of 2013, including both the debt held by the public and intra-governmental debt, was $16.719 trillion. The CBO estimates by 2024 that the debt of the federal government will be around $27.159 trillion, of which we will hold $20.947 trillion. After hearing all this, the details of this coming out, Chairman Yellen responded by saying, "These types of debts will be unsustainable, and the government needs to look to its tax policy to possibly fix the issue." Wrong, Chairperson Yellen. It isn't the tax policy that needs to be fixed. It's a credit issue. You need to stop allowing us to borrow what we don't have. But the mere fact that you're now telling us it's a tax issue is telling me and every other alternative economist that you know you are never getting paid back, and you know it. Patriots of the Readout, hear me now. The Fed is going to do everything it can to be paid back. If it isn't the taxes, they will go after your bank accounts. If you haven't made financial moves to protect yourself, do it now, as you may not have enough time. Well, in other socialist news this week, the Pope has officially called for the wealth of the world to be redistributed to help cure the, quote, exclusionist economy. Now, I want to tread lightly on this next story, as I know that some of you who are listening are of the Catholic faith, and I've always felt that it is the Church's responsibility to help take care of the poor, the widows, and the orphans. But it's not the government's. The comments made by the Pope were during a speech to the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and the heads of other UN major agencies who met in Rome this last week. Latin America's first Pope has frequently lashed out at the injustice of capitalism and the global economic system, but on Friday, Francis called for the United Nations to promote a, quote, worldwide ethical mobilization of solidarity with the poor. He has said a more equal form of economic progress can be made through legitimate redistribution of economic benefits by the state, as well as the indispensable cooperation between the private sector and civil society. Francis did urge the UN to promote developmental goals that attack the root causes of poverty in Hungary and protect the environment to ensure a dignified labor for all. Now, I want to be the first person to support taking care of those who cannot provide for themselves, but we all know that we have way too many people who just prefer to, quote, live off the state and not to want to work in dignified labor. I'm sure I echo the sentiment of many of you when I quote 1 Thessalonians 3:10 when I say, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this command. If someone won't work, he shouldn't eat." I would challenge you, those who are listening to this week, to go to your churches and make sure that they have plans in place that when the economy goes south, that they have something they can do to help take care of those in your local community. Finally tonight, in a story coming out of the socialist side of Washington State, a Romanian couple is being deported from the United States for their alleged role in a $68 million tax evasion scheme that may have left behind as much as $2.7 million in gold and silver coins they had once hoarded in their fully stocked doomsday bunker. Radu and Diana Names were arrested in March, and the couple's 53-acre property with a fully furnished underground bunker in Yelm, Washington, have waived their extradition to Romania. The Names is, sorry about the pronunciation on that, are wanted in Europe, the European nation, for allegedly selling 1 million tons of diesel fuel to the government and then falsely reported the product was a lower grade, therefore avoiding $68.9 million in taxes. The extensive bunker, which was sealed from the inside, featured multiple diesel generators, solar power features, a battery backup system, and a water filtration mechanism. Investors also found 88 coins and 10,500 silver coins, a fraction of what the FBI accountant believes is buried on their property. For those of you over on that side of the state, if you have any more information on the story, I'd like to hear it. You're welcome to email. And the reason I'm using this story tonight is it actually leads into my advice for you all this week. Okay, for my advice. I am never, ever, 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 ever in support of doing anything illegal to ever gain wealth. It's a sin, and I find it detestable. But it leads me to this next point. OPSEC is your friend. And in fact, I need to increase mine. This past week, I had to chase two druggies from my property, and I learned some very, very valuable lessons. Number one, never try to confront anyone alone. Having an extra, quote, set of arms, I think you know what I mean, is always best. Number two, I need to increase my gate security. The two yahoos told me they were going to sleep there for the night, were taking advantage of the lack of fencing in that area. And number three, it is always a good reminder that we always need to have a plan in case of intruders or raiders on your retreat property. If in the future law enforcement isn't around, you'll be on your own. But here's my disclaimer. Always try to use your words first. Your firearm should always be your last and final options to solve any problem. Thanks again for listening this week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, thank you. And to all the mothers, thank you again. Have a good night, and God bless.
Welcome back to episode 2 of, or segment 2 of episode 1418. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt, bringing truth and encouragement and information to you as concerned patriots, redoubters, and lovers of freedom. Many of you have asked, hey, what's the best way to support you? A couple of ways that you can do that. Of course, we have a PayPal account. Many have set up just a recurring $5, $10, $20 a month support payment that's automatically recurring within PayPal. Others have chosen not to use PayPal for various reasons, and they use our mail drop, which is a P.O. box handled by some very faithful redoubters that will make sure that we get all correspondence, usually within 24 to 48 hours. That is under the support Radio Free Redoubt tab. Just go there and, you know, what method, all that's outlined there. Of course, you know, cash is always better, but there's various different methods for sending support. It is up to you. And we thank you so much for supporting us. It means a lot. Now, let's see. There's an article that I picked up here that I thought was very amazing. It was moving. It's a letter that was written by a group of Green Berets, Special Forces, Army Special Forces. They have a new open letter on the Second Amendment. And as of two or three weeks ago, over 1,100 U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers have signed on to this support for Second Amendment open letter. It's excellent, very well articulated, and they make a legal, historical, and a common sense approach to their commitment to supporting the Second Amendment and why. I thought it was really good. In other news, in a scenario which seems to be right out of Soviet Russia's playbook, the IRS has begun coming after children and grandchildren in an attempt to collect tax debts incurred by their parents, and in some cases, grandparents. Now, the IRS knows that once a child's parents are dead and probate's completed, that the estate and the children are no longer responsible for any debts in the ancestor's name. Well, they're banking on ignorance of the law to bring in a little bit of extra revenue this year and beyond. The IRS, in most cases, doesn't even possess the original records of these debts, so-called debts. If you get a letter demanding payment for a parent's debt, don't pay it. And depending on the amount, you may need some help from an attorney in overcoming the limitless resources the government will certainly use to force you to pay a debt that you don't owe. There is a book in this article that they reference. It's a good resource, they say, that a former IRS agent wrote, which exposes the corruption and the tactics used at the IRS. And this book is available apparently for $2.99. Could be a good investment. TheFreeBeacon.com had a report this week. The experts on Capitol Hill Thursday warned that an electromagnetic pulse, EMP attack, aimed at the nation's electrical grid could leave the majority of Americans dead. Of course, these are consistent with other reports that we've seen from experts, and we've talked about this in the past. The hearing, Electromagnetic Pulse Threat to Critical Infrastructure, before the House Homeland Security Committee's Subcommittee on Cybersecurity, Infrastructure Protection, and Security Technologies, explored the effects an EMP would have. Some would say it's a low probability, but the damage that could be caused in the event of an EMP attack, both by the sun, a solar event, or a man-made attack, would be catastrophic, said Representative Michael McCaul, Republican out of Texas. He said that we talk a lot about nuclear bombs in Manhattan and cybersecurity threats to the power grid in the Northeast, and all of these things would actually probably pale in comparison to the devastation that an EMP attack could perpetrate on Americans. Well, he's right. It is relatively low probability, but you know, so is getting robbed in most of the streets in America, but you still carry a sidearm to defend yourself. Regardless of the probability, you still want to take appropriate measures. It's a low probability you'll get in a car accident, but you still wear your seatbelt, right? Well, the probability could actually be increasing of an EMP attack. We're in the middle of a 11-year solar cycle right now, which is putting out some incredible, very noteworthy the sunspot cycles is putting out these, EMPs generated by the sun. Well, so far, none of them that from the sun anyway has been directed directly toward the Earth, but there's a probability for that over the next probably 12 to 18 months. And then, of course, there's another story here. Russia just conducted a test launch of three land-based Topol ICBM. That's the nuclear warhead carrying missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles, plus ballistic missiles that were fired from multiple subs. And their defense minister says that nuclear forces are on combat alert. That's just this week. They're starting to play with ICBMs now, and you're in the big time. Now, with North Korea, China, and Russia firing off ICBMs, well, those are beautiful delivery systems for an EMP-generating nuclear warhead. And we all know, who have done any kind of study at all, you know, 300 feet above the Earth, 10 megatons, could have some devastating, catastrophic effects on the United States and our infrastructure. Besides that, NATO is, based on all their intelligence resources, they are moving tanks and armored vehicle mobilization, and rail transport is happening in multiple NATO countries. Military intelligence, Army National Guard is also deploying UAV teams to the Baltics. And so that is an ongoing situation. And despite the widespread news reports of the Russian military withdrawing from the Ukrainian border, NATO officials report that the claim is false. No such movement or withdrawal is happening. And they are, in fact, continuing to build up. The Russians are. So there's a lot going on over there that could directly impact us, something to definitely watch very closely. All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about the voting process, because this is a very timely issue. This is very important, and it's one that we must, as patriots, to get in the fight, we have to be informed. And we have some resources that I want to talk to you about, because your day of battle at the ballot box is coming up if you are living in Idaho or Eastern Oregon, May 20th. More on that in just a moment. This segment was brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, providing outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle, helping you guys get relocated to the heart of the American Redoubt. You can go to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to learn more, and or you could click on the banner and that will link you right on through to their website there at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Okay, this is Radio Free Redoubt, and we will be back in a moment.
I've often heard atheists and so-called progressives argue that the founders weren't Christians and that this was never a Christian nation. They like to say that men like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were deists. Well, so what if they were deists? Being a deist simply means that God doesn't interfere with the affairs of men. But after seeing God's hand in the making of their newly won nation, they gave God full credit. In a letter to William Strahan in 1784, Benjamin Franklin said this, "My dear friend, do not imagine that I am vain enough to ascribe our success," he was speaking about the Revolution, "to any superiority on their part. If it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of Providence in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. If I had ever before been an atheist, I should now have been convinced of the being and government of a deity." And Thomas Jefferson wrote this, "Of all the systems of morality, ancient or modern, which have come under my observation, none appears to me so pure as that of Jesus. I am a real Christian, that is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus." Don't believe the lies of the revisionist historians. They'll deceive you every time if you don't know the truth. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Please remember to support local businesses whenever you have a choice, especially support Patriot-owned businesses. This will strengthen the American Redoubt. Look for businesses that advertise in conservative publications or in church or Christian business directories. Of course, we all need accountability, so don't neglect to check references and get competing bids when appropriate.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Redoubt.
Okay, we are in segment three now, which is sponsored by AMP3. That's Austere Medical Preparedness Project, Practical Preparedness Project, medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. That's you. That's me. They are just great supporters of Radio Free Redoubt. So support them. They do a good job. And if you want to learn how to use that stuff, go over to their very popular USNER doc, as in United States Navy Emergency Room Doctor, USNER doc. That is the YouTube channel where he goes over gear and tactics and techniques for using your medical equipment. Really good stuff. Okay. Let's see. This last week, we had several forums that we announced that were on Idaho Public Television to give you an opportunity to hear the candidates and where they stand on the different issues so you can be informed. Now, those are pretty much over. There's two left, but they're really super important. May 13th at 7 p.m. Pacific, the Secretary of State candidates will be facing off. And then the following night, May 14th at 8 p.m. Pacific, the governor candidates will be facing off. And, of course, you can always click there on that resources page that we've put up there. There is a link on the upper right-hand side of Radio Free Redoubt. It's got the map, the sepia map of the American Redoubt with voter information so you can be informed. And there's tons of resources there. There's no reason for you not to be getting involved. But if you want to watch these last two forums, you can go to Idaho Public Television or idahoptv.org. The link is there also on our website. You can click through and you can look at the schedule there. This week, where is it? I got this copy of a postcard somebody received in the mail who lives in the North Idaho area, and it says urgent voter information. Keep this card. Democrats are under attack by radical Republicans running as faux Democrats. They want to take over your local party governing board by filling precinct captain positions on the Kootenai County Democratic Central Committee. Use this card to ensure you elect real Democrats May 20th. And then they give a list of all the real Democrats. This is funny because the Republicans there in North Idaho are playing the Democrats game and they don't like it. See, because that's how all the rhinos got in. All these left-leaning so-called Republicans, wolves in sheep's clothing is what they are. They're running in the primaries and they're getting money from central and left-leaning supporters, including known Democrats, are contributing to their campaign. So we get rhinos, Republican in name only, left-wing Republicans in place in the primary. So when they go to the general elections, well, they win. Because in North Idaho, almost always a Republican's going to win because people don't do their homework. They show up and they feel good about themselves like they did their part because they show up on November 11th and they go down the ballot and they go, oh, let's see. Well, I know I'm Republican, and so I'm just going to vote Republican, Republican, Republican right down the line. What they don't realize is that they're voting in a left-leaning Republican. Then they get frustrated throughout the next 2 years, 4 years, 6 years. They get frustrated that I did my part, I voted, and these people are going against my will. That's because you didn't pay attention, because you didn't vote in the primaries. You didn't get informed yourself, and you didn't inform others. The primary elections, and for Idaho, that's coming up in May, on May 20th. That's a little over a week from now. And the reason why is because the primaries have the absolute lowest voter turnout. Nobody shows up. Only a small handful of people really vote in the Republican that's going to win in November, because nobody's going to vote in a Democrat. Well, what's happening is the Republicans are doing what the Democrats did. They've got all these Republicans that are switching to Democrat, and they're getting on these ballots, and they're running for these offices. And they're going, you know, on the common sense, leadership, that type of thing. And they're actually, they're endangering the Democrats. So what's cool also is that this card that they sent out to everybody in North Idaho lists the real Democrats. I mean, the real left-wing socialists, which is kind of cool because they just provided us with more to put on our list. Remember what I said? Keep a list, naughty or nice? Okay. We've got the naughty list now because we have the fully vetted left-wing communist socialist agenda pushing Democrats mailed to all of the conservatives in North Idaho. So if you received one of those cards, save it because they're providing the list for you. We want to be listing. We want to be paying attention to the patriots that are out there and then also the enemy. So do that. Now, there's something that I didn't realize until just recently, and that is these precinct committee members. These are voted in positions. I didn't realize how powerful these committee seats are and how much pull they have. They influence the politics where you live by a huge margin. They have a lot of pull, and most people don't even realize. What is a central committee person? Each voting precinct has a committee member that is voted in by you. But see, most of the time, I was talking to some people about this that work on these committees, and they're like, some of these people get voted in with 5, 6, 7 votes. like their family and a couple friends, because nobody even knows what it means. They go down the list and like, what's this committee? I don't know any of these people. I'm just going to leave it blank. And then everyone leaves it blank. And then you've got like 7 or 8 people voting to put a person into a really powerful position. It's a behind the scenes position, but it's an elected position. So we also put lists of true conservatives on the website so that you can know who to vote for. We put their voting records out there. We put everything that you need to know. Now, right now, we're really pushing Idaho because that's coming up on May 20th. So is Eastern Oregon, but I have no data on any candidates in Eastern Oregon. As conservative as it is, we really don't have any people, anyone active that's feeding us with information. And it's basically too late now. But we do have that set up on that page on Radio Free Readout. If you are in Eastern Oregon and you have information you can add to help inform voters on who to vote for, then send that in, please. Just send it to me, johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. Montana has their primary elections, the primaries are coming up on June 3rd. And this is funny. I got one sent from Colorado. Colorado's not in the American Readout. Unless Northern Colorado secedes from Southern Colorado, then we might just have to absorb them into the American Readout. But that's June 24th. Now, Washington State is August 5th. The primaries are on August 5th. And in Wyoming, it's August 19th. As we approach those dates, we're going to be doing some research and have some people all over this so we can bring the resources to you to make an informed decision. So anyway, you've got to get out there and tell everyone you know to get off their couch, get off their butt, and get down there and vote in the primaries. It will make or break us. If you want a left-leaning Republican leadership in Idaho, or if you want true conservative patriots, it's all on you. You can do this. People win all the time by just 5 or 6, 7 votes, 10 votes, 20 votes. Makes the difference on what candidate goes forward to the general elections. So I just want to light a fire under you guys to get you involved there. Over on this website page that we have information on Inside the American Readout, North Idaho Conservatives versus Rhinos, a list that tells you exactly who's who. We've got the Conservative Precinct Committeemen of Kootenai County listed there because someone sent that in. Kootenai County is like the like ground zero for Patriot American Readout activity. There's so many patriots there. It's highly concentrated. And so they sent this in. We've got that posted. For these committee members, these precinct committee men that I was telling you about, you need to know who they are so you don't skip over and go, oh, I don't even know what this is. I'll leave it blank. Don't leave it blank. Get the patriot voted in there. The North Idaho Senator, representatives. Like, for example, I was supposed to interview Danielle Ahrens. She is running against the incumbent up in District 1, Boundary County. Danielle Ahrens is running against, she's the patriot, running against the sitting rhino, Sean Koge, K-E-O-G-H. She's a rhino. She is a left-leaning Republican. Matter of fact, she's got the lowest rating in the entire state from the Idaho Freedom Foundation. This incumbent, Sean Koge, I don't even want to say her name because I don't want to build in that name recognition. But if you look, she's got a minus 74 on the Freedom Index for the way that she's voted. The incumbent, the one that needs to be unseated and kicked out of there, needs to be booted. Voted for several things, including the bill to prohibit abortions after 20 weeks. She said, no, I don't support that. So basically, she's supporting abortions after 20 weeks. That's amazing. On her profile, she's listed as a Protestant. How can you call yourself a Christian and vote to murder a baby after it's 20 weeks old in its mother's womb? That's just, I don't get it. For establishing a state health insurance exchange, you know, the Obamacare or Ottercare, she voted yay for that. She voted it in. She also voted against concealed carry firearms on college or university campuses. So your young adult daughter coming out of classes at night, cannot have the means to defend herself if she's attacked. So she's got to go. That's just three of them that I pulled from her voting record. She's got the worst record in the state of Idaho. And several of these Republicans are in the minuses, way down in the red on the Freedom Index. We've got to purge these people and get them out of there. Got to. Okay, one last thing before we take a break. Look at the time here. Okay. Patriots for America is trying, they're pushing for this American Spring. Operation American Spring. Now, someone sent me an email saying, what do you know about the colonel who's heading this up? Well, I don't know anything about him, really. I've read about him. I've read about this Patriots for America. And I've read about this Operation American Spring. What they're trying to do is they are trying to have 1 million to 10 million patriots march on Washington, D.C., unarmed, peaceful. And they are demanding that Obama and Pelosi and Boehner and what's the guy from I'll think of it in just a second. Trying to oust these left wing members in that are occupying the White House and Congress. Now, I got some of you have asked my thoughts on this. And there are some people that are saying, this is just a trap. This is a setup. Well, I got a letter from someone that was forwarded to me from the Tea Party movement and said, if you open the operation file or in the, you know, Patriots for America, you go to Operation American Spring. Okay. If you open the file, it should show their plan if you've not seen it. The following is the bulk of the Tea Party message. They are worried about possible violence and being painted with it. It looks like a bunch of websites are pushing this. Already found the right-wing monitor site saying the Tea Party is a backer. All the makings to stir up a hornet's nest. Okay, so the Tea Party is concerned that this is part of a plan that this thing's going to go sideways. It's going to go bad, and the Tea Party's going to get blamed for it, and they're going to get painted that this is a Tea Party event. And the Tea Party's saying, we don't have anything to do with this. In fact, we're concerned that this could go bad specifically to make us look bad. I don't know about that. This is what their mission is for Operation American Spring. The restoration of constitutional government, the rule of law, freedom, liberty of the people, for the people, by the people, from despotic and tyrannical federal leadership. Okay, I'm on board so far. Millions, the assumptions are that millions of Americans will participate. I'm not optimistic that that's going to happen. Their other assumptions are that American veterans and patriots are energized to end the tyranny, lawlessness, and shredding of the U.S. Constitution. Government is not the target. It is sound, corrupt, and criminal leadership that must be replaced. Those in power could use force against unarmed, peaceful patriots exercising their constitutional rights. Patriots could be harmed, but not expected. And there's no hope given today's technology of secrecy for the effort, nor do we want it secret. Okay. Their concept of operations to field millions, as many as 10 million patriots who will assemble in a peaceful, nonviolent, physically unarmed, but spiritually and constitutionally armed display of unswerving loyalty to the U.S. Constitution. So far what I'm hearing is we're going to stand around the White House, we're going to hold hands and sing Kumbaya until they leave. Phase two is 1 million or more of the assembled 10 million must be prepared to stay in D.C. as long as it takes to see Obama, Biden, Reid, McConnell, Boehner, Pelosi, Attorney General Eric Holder, that's the name I was trying to think of, removed from office. Consistent with the U.S. Constitution, as required, U.S. Congress will take appropriate action, execute appropriate legislation, deal with the vacancies. I don't know why they're going to be vacant. They're not going to vacate their seats just by camping out there indefinitely. U.S. states will appoint or replacements for positions vacated consistent with established constitutional requirements. Phase three is those with the principles of West, Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, DeMint, Paul, Governor Walker, Gowdy, Jordan should comprise a tribunal and assume positions of authority to convene investigations. Now, I don't know where in the Constitution it outlines, you know, you can set up a tribunal to replace vacated seats, assuming that they would vacate these seats by a million peaceful, unarmed protesters standing around willing to camp out there to show their support for the Constitution. My assessment is this is not going to work. Now, if the government escalates things, and things escalate just because of what they are, like what we saw in Ukraine, things could escalate to the point where they ran the president out of there and he ran to Russia and they ended up setting up a provisional government. Perhaps that is the hope that some type of outcome like that, you know, would bring about the desired change. The problem that I have with this is that I believe that our situation in our country is so far gone. A, these people are so arrogant, they will never leave, especially with a bunch of unarmed, peaceful demonstrators that are just going to camp out in Washington, D.C. If you did get them to leave, let's say you throw bricks through the window and they say, oh, we got to get out of here, and they all left. And even if we got somebody like the people that they mentioned, the conservative leaders, to reappoint people to these positions, this is only going to be a temporary solution. Because if you got the traitors out of there, first of all, those traitors have a lot of followers that are now dependent on the government. So you're going to have them to contend with. On top of that, those tyrants will use the government resources to resist you if you try doing anything more than just standing around holding hands and thinking about the Constitution and reading it to each other. If you got them to leave, this would only be a temporary solution, a band-aid, because the reason why those people are there is because it is a reflection of the state, the spiritual condition of our whole country. The American people put Obama in there twice. The American people put Boehner in there. They put Pelosi in there. We've got such a deep problem that standing around reading the Constitution over bullhorns to the White House is not going to change things. So anyway, is this a big setup to try to suck Americans in? And is agent provocateurs will be on site. You can count on it. They're going to try to stir something up. They're going to try to make they'll try to make it look like the Patriots, and they'll specifically name the Tea Party. Even if the Tea Party had nothing to do with it, they're going to say those Tea Partiers. Tea Partiers are going to get dragged into anything. I don't care what it is. If it's Bundy Ranch, if it's standing around the White House protesting tyranny, if things go bad, the Tea Party is going to get blamed because they have to demonize any effective conservative organization. They're going to say the NRA was somehow involved. They're going to say, they're going to name them all. They're going to start naming names, even if you had nothing to do with it. So expect that. No matter what, how many letters you put out to your group, to your mailing list, to your constituents, whatever, it's coming. This is a war. This is a war of ideas. This is a war of information. It's a war for hearts and minds. And we know communists play dirty in that arena. So I'm not opposed to it. I think it's great. I think that these people that want to march on Washington, I think what you're seeing, it's what it is more than anything, is a really good measure, to see the pulse of how fed up Americans are getting. And we're getting closer. We're not quite there yet. And this type of a solution, unfortunately, I do not see as a viable solution to real meaningful change, not in the Washington, D.C. level. So there's my two cents on that. All right, enough of that. Let's take a break real quick, and we'll come back, get into segment four, and I want to talk a little bit about the investigation that the FBI is opening up for Bundy supporters. And there are some things that we need to pull from this and hopefully give you some food for thought. Okay, I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the Voice of the American Readout. We'll be coming back in just a minute. Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Thank you guys for your support. Thank you for sticking around. Thank you for being out there. Be encouraged. Those of you who gave me so much encouragement, those of you that are outside the wire, you're in occupied America. And there you are giving me support and encouragement. It works both ways. Thank you guys so much for being out there. Also, I want to thank Katie Armour for being out there and helping to support us. Katie Armour, of course, you know, they make the body armor, the AR-500 level 3 body armor. It's got the frag coating on it, the anti-spalling coating with front and side plates, back plates, and plate carrier assemblies. Patriot-owned business. This week, we saw several of you actually sent me this report as it was kind of spreading around the internet, where the FBI is investigating Bundy supporters. The I-Team, and this is this news outfit from, this was posted at americasfreedomfighters.com, confirmed that FBI agents have launched a formal investigation into alleged death threats, intimidation, and possible weapons violations that culminated with a dangerous showdown on April 12th. And the first people to be interviewed by the FBI agents are Metro Police, starting with Clark County Sheriff Doug Gillespie. He's the one that showed up on the scene, kind of like Sheriff Behan in Tombstone. You know, when he wouldn't lift a hand to stop, you know, the cowboy from shooting the town marshal. You know, that Wyatt Earp jumped up there and actually took the guy into custody. And as soon as he did, then the sheriff was like, well, that's law and order every time. Yeah. But he didn't lift a finger to get involved, but he steps up right at the right moment, right, to take credit. So, this sheriff here in Nevada, he's being interviewed by the FBI. Now, those of you who were at the Bunkerville, the Bundy supporters, these guys are reviewing all of their camera footage. Now, they're not talking about the person holding up a sign, but there were weapons pointed. And what they're upset about is the weapons violations where weapons were pointed at federal agents. Bundy supporters have been adamant in saying that no weapons were aimed at the feds or the police, that the BLM rangers were the ones pointing guns. The federal authorities are conducting an investigation, and they're confident it's going to go into the future. He said that this Lombardo says that it's illegal to point loaded weapons at federal agents, and most people know what would happen if a suspect pointed a gun at a Metro officer in Las Vegas Valley. Well, you weren't in Las Vegas Valley. You're in an urban or rural environment. This was a potential battlefield. Now, what's interesting is that the law enforcement officers were drawing down on unarmed civilians. They had sniper positions overwatching, and they had a bead drawn on citizens. So I'm wondering, why is it, and police officers do this a lot, they'll draw their weapon on a suspect where they may not even have any reason to believe the person's armed, but it almost becomes a matter of practice. Now, I am very pro-law enforcement. As long as you are honoring your oath to protect and defend the Constitution, there's dirtbags out there. There's some real, and I know, I understand the police officers have to deal with the absolute ilk of our society. After a while, that makes you pretty callous. I mean, pretty soon, you can't help but to have a us versus them mentality, because there are people out there that want to kill you and try. And all you'd want to do is make it home to your family alive that night. And I can, trust me, I understand that side of things. But to say that it's a federal law to point a loaded firearm at an agent, but then say that a citizen doesn't have that right, but an agent is protected. He can point a loaded weapon at an unarmed civilian, but a civilian cannot point a weapon at an agent. It's interesting, or it's something to note that you cannot have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, where the government has privileges and authority that the citizens do not have, because they derive, the government and their agents derive their power from the people. So you cannot have power and authority that is exclusive to you and not to the people, when they are the ones who give you the power that you have. Does that make sense? Okay. There are, it's really interesting though, how quickly and how often loaded weapons get pointed at civilians by agents, but they want to claim that it's a felony. Why is it not a felony to point a loaded weapon at a civilian? Especially when, and this is where the argument comes down to, it's Title 18 under the U.S. Code, Section 242, which is the deprivation of rights under the color of law. That's when you are acting outside the law, you're acting illegally, but you're acting in an official capacity under the color of law. Now, a good example of, and this is the argument that they're bringing forward to apply to this case with the Bundy situation about the agents pointing loaded firearms at these civilians, many of them unarmed. And then, of course, using the argument that it's a felony to point a weapon at an agent, when everything went down on the 12th of April, when guns were pointed at each other in both directions. So how can you charge a civilian with a felony who's in fear for his life, prepared to defend himself, who is putting his sights on another man who's putting his sights on him? It seems to me that's mutual combat. That's called combat. And, well, the history books are written by the victors, right? We'll see how this turns out. I know that the Redcoats, they referred to the colonists who showed up armed as a bunch of vagabonds, as criminals, and even terrorists. Now, this I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but using Title 18, Section 242, the deprivation of rights under the color of law, that would have been a beautiful case. That's where you come to disarm someone who is not breaking any laws, but just for the sake of disarming them, and then they defend themselves and say, "You're not going to disarm me." And then the cop pulls his gun. You will give up your weapon. And the citizen says, "No, I won't." And then they get in a shootout, and then the citizen prevails. because the disarming of the citizen was illegal. Now, that would be a good case to make for the situation like Hurricane Katrina. You know, just disarming citizens. What if the citizens would have fought back? What if they said would have said, you're not going to leave us unarmed? Now, under Title 18, U.S. Code 242, it is a felony for you to be deprived of your rights under the color of law. Just because the mayor said nobody can have guns, so I'm sending out all these cops, and all these cops that come from all these different states, different jurisdictions, different firearms laws to enforce laws here in Louisiana. And you're going to go disarm all these citizens who've done nothing wrong, who aren't breaking the law. The only law they're breaking is having firearms under a arbitrary law that you just decided unilaterally with no legislation or anything like that. It's a very interesting situation. So a citizen defending his rights, defending himself from being deprived of his rights under the color of law would be the Title 18, Section 242, would be a very valid argument. Now, whether or not a judge would uphold that in the society that we live in is another thing. You know, that's another matter. But anyway, I want you guys to just think about some of the stuff that we're up against. And what's interesting is that in this case, in many cases, the government is using laws when it suits them. They use the Constitution and the laws when it supports their agenda, but when it does not, they discard it. And they don't use due process. So we're entering into some very recent, very interesting times in our country. George Washington said, "Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, like fire, a dangerous servant and a terrible master." He also said, "The very atmosphere of firearms everywhere restrains evil interference. They deserve a place of honor with all that is good." There is a similar situation that's going on in Blanding, Utah, where more than 200 people gathered at Centennial Park. There is a section in what's called Recapture Canyon, interesting name, Recapture Canyon, where these trails have been blocked off by the BLM for use by off-road vehicles, four-wheelers and such. And 200 people showed up. They had a protest. They read the Constitution. Even had some elected officials speaking in support of these protests. And then they went on a ride and defying the BLM road trail block rules and went down riding these trails anyway, while the sheriff's department basically just looked on. The BLM closed the canyon to motorized vehicles back in 2007. With saying that they're protecting ancient cultural sites and artifacts. And there's been a lot of controversy over that ever since. But here's something interesting. The reporter that covered this said there was no visible presence of BLM officers at the protest. This is from St. George News columnist Dallas Highland. There's no visible presence of officers, BLM officers, there. But check this out. The BLM later issued a statement indicating its officers were present and observing the activity. And this, the statement that they included also said that the protest was supported by some who also participated in the April resistance to BLM enforcement officers at the Bundy Ranch in Buckerville. What they're saying also, the BLM Utah will seek appropriate penalties against anyone who willfully violates the law. This is a statement issued by the BLM in Utah, the state director. He said, if any citations were going to be issued in connection with Saturday's protest, the sheriff said that those would come from the BLM, not his office. And they're also saying that they are documenting and they are videoing all the people that are involved in this protest. Just like the FBI, they're reviewing all of this footage and everything else, and they're taking names, anybody that they think was in violation. So what they're going to do, at least at this point, is they're going to let you think you won. And they were hit right in their ego. with Bundy Ranch, and also with the BLM situation down here at Recapture Canyon in Utah just this last weekend. So what they're doing is they're letting you just do your thing, and they're just documenting everything. And the next thing you know, you're going to get your door kicked in the middle of the night because they reviewed all the tapes. And they're saying no BLM agents were there, but the BLM just made a statement that BLM agents were there. That means they were undercover. That means they're blending in. That means they're milling among the crowd, and they're taking names. So this is going to, what this is going to happen is this is going to become more Gestapo tactics. They're going to start infiltrating crowds more. They're going to start milling about. They're going to start acting like they're one of us. And they're going to start taking photos. They're going to start taking names. And then later, after the event's over, then they go around and they nail everybody. So just to be something to be thinking about with these type of tactics that we're seeing, kind of a change in the way that they're doing business. Okay. Real quick, let's cover some communications and then we'll just wrap some stuff up. And I want to remind you of some events that are coming up here. Listener letter, communications. Well, by the way, thanks everybody for participating in the nets. Boy, the nets are growing all across the country. We have local 2-meter nets and CH3 nets that are now sprouting, popping up. If you need help with that, go to amron.com. There's plenty of resources there to help you get up and running. And then if you still have further questions, you can Facebook us or email us and we'll try to walk you through the process. But don't do that until after you've gone to Amron and looked at all the resources for starting nets and everything. This guy says, I'm thinking of incorporating all my nets into one. By including the GMRS net repeater net and the CH3 project all into the CH3 portion of the 2-meter net, what are your thoughts on this? Okay, so let me just help you guys out, make sense of this. There's an Amron operator that's running a 2-meter net. Separately, he does a GMRS net because they have a local GMRS repeater. And then also, they have a separate net doing CH3, which is, you know, your CB, FRS, MERS. So he's saying, should I, you know, incorporate all these into one net? Absolutely. If you're just starting out, you're going to have a very low turnout in your nets. So run your 2-meter net. And then what they typically do is the net control operators will break at about the 15-minute mark into the net. And at that time, have the Amron operators call out on CB or FRS or MERS or GMRS, if you have GMRS repeaters in your area. Spread the word among your like-minded friends and family and get them involved in communications. Let them watch the comms up video. Encourage them to get involved and participate in the nets on a regular basis. It's only every other week, the first and third week of the month. Okay, so I would incorporate all those into one net. Run your 2-meter net at the 15-minute mark, break off, and then do your CH3 call out and see how many check-ins you get. And then maybe at the very end, then maybe it's a 45-minute net. So the last 15 minutes, you're doing your GMRS net. And then once your participation increases, then you break off and you're like, okay, we've got like 12 people doing a CB net now, and it's really bogging down our 2-meter net. So what we'll do is we'll have these guys run their own separate net at the same time, and then we'll have the net control for the CB net check in at that 15-minute mark. So net control, they'll call out maybe 15 minutes into the 2-meter net, and they'll say, hey, CH3, net control. The guy comes back and says, yeah, I'm here. I've got 12 check-ins. All right, thanks. And then your 2-meter net control makes a note of that. So keep it all together as much as you can until you grow. Once you outgrow that and you're bursting at the seams, then break off into additional smaller nets, peripheral to your central net in your area. You can and encourage them, if you get that many people involved, break off and have the north part of the town do a 2-meter net and the south part of the town do a separate 2-meter net, and then check in with each other. There's a number of different ways you guys can do this, so I hope that helps a little bit. I want to remind you guys of a couple of events coming up. This coming Thursday evening, Dick Heller is on his Second Amendment Idaho tour. And he was the one who prevailed against the District of Columbia in the District of Columbia versus Heller case, and that was in 2008. Thursday evening, Chris Troupas from the Idaho constitutional attorney and Matt Shea, Washington representative and constitutional attorney, will also be speaking. That's May 15th, Thursday, and we will be live streaming that event. So you can tune in this coming Thursday to listen to coverage of that. We'll also record that so we can update that. Next Saturday is the Spokane Tea Party Patriot Reclaiming Sovereignty and Personal Liberty in the Northwest. There's going to be five speakers there, and myself and Joel Skousen will be the two keynote speakers for that event. Joel Skousen will be speaking last. I'll be going right before him. So that's next Saturday, May 17th. You can click on our events tab and get more information on that. That's an all-day event from 9 till about 6 or 4:30, from 9 a.m. to 4:30, right about on the state line in Newman Lake, Washington, between Idaho and Washington. Now, something I just recently discovered is $25 a person or $40 for a couple, and that includes lunch, so next Saturday. And then put on your calendars, guys, the 20th annual God and Country Celebration is coming up on June 27th through the 29th. It is a huge deal. And that is up at Marble Country, Washington, which is way north of Spokane, about an hour and a half north of Spokane, I believe. And that is a really, really cool thing. I think I'm going to be speaking at that event as well. Several great, great people are going to be there. And that is June 27th through the 29th. You'll be able to camp out there. You can go to that website there, click on through and learn more about that. All right, guys, that's about all I got tonight. So I just want to say God bless you all. Thank you so much for being out there. And just keep your comments, prayers, and support and encouragement coming. I'm very, very grateful for all of you guys. I know there's a couple of things I meant to cover, and I'll remember it as soon as I sign off. So forgive me if you emailed a question or something and I just skimmed over it in my notes here. That's very possible. So just shoot me a reminder, and I want to make sure I'm just going back through here. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything critical. But if I do, just let me know. So get ready to get out there and vote and get everybody around you in your circle of influence informed, and tell them to inform others, because the future of the American Readout really depends on it. I want to thank you guys all for being aware, for being awake, for being in the fight, and for being patriots. My brothers and sisters, appreciate you. Okay, guys, this is episode 1418, and this is John Jacob Schmidt. My name is Your Name Too. And until we meet again next week, good night.